A skeleton walks into a bar, orders a beer and a mop.
A mop? What? Huh? Skeleton walks into a bar? Wacht. Orders a beer and a mop?
You know what a mop is? M-O-P?
Yeah, like a mop.
What happens if a skeleton drinks a beer? What do you think?
Oh. That's not funny!
Verhip.
Yeah. That was a bad one. Yellow card. That's the first one.
I love it. Anyway, welcome back to Verhip, everyone, for the second episode of season 3. Last time we had our summer blockbuster baby pilot, and this week we're tackling what, Data?
Halloween. Horror. But because it's October. It's we've got skeleton themed mugs. Mm-hmm. Yes, and we're very scared in general. At least I am.
Okay, why?
No, just because it's October and we were watching too many horror movies, and some of them are terribly bad as well, and that's scary. I think terrible horror films are some of the scariest things that I've seen.
And you're losing sleep over it.
Yeah, it keeps me up at night. But I like horror.
Yeah,
very much.
Do you watch a lot of horror?
And no, I'm a moderate horror fan. I like my horror very specifically. Mm. I mean, I'm not going to the cinema to watch the new Saw movie, for instance. Yeah, that's not my cup of tea.
Right there with you.
Yeah. No, but I like a good one, and they always have like this lingering effect when they're good. So we'll be diving into it shortly.
I wanted to ask you, what is your first horror film experience? Do you remember?
Shining.
The Shining.
Very late in life as well.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I hope so.
Never watched horror when I was a kid.
But if you're gonna start with The Shining, you'd better not be like 11 because that's too scary.
I didn't think it was scary. I think it's haunting. I have very particular opinions regarding The Shining. Okay. First of all, I think it's a very good movie.
Agreed.
But I think it's haunting. Mm. I don't think it is really scary. It's something that tries to... It is somebody walking behind you, and just constantly when you turn your head, it's not there. That's The Shining, pretty much. But as for some reason, I think it's more in the camp of just... It's not reassurance. It's... I have peace with it. That's how life is, in a way. Very short vibe, but yeah, Shining. Very late in life. Never watched horror when I was a kid. I made it bloated in a way. It was considered scary. I'm not going to watch it. And then when I finally watched something, I was like,
You really build it up in your mind, like this is going to be a major experience, and then...
Exactly.
And it was probably because it's such a good film, but it wasn't a major experience because it was so terrifying.
Major Kubrick fan, so yeah, no, definitely.
Makes sense. Okay, so you weren't really scared.
No.
What is a scary movie to you?
We're going to discuss the scariest movie, I think, that I've seen at the end. But yeah, no, Buck by Friedkin. I think Friedkin is one of those filmmakers that really, really can scare the living daylight out of me.
Mostly known from The Exorcist.
Yeah, 50 years old, I think this month as well. So that's quite something.
Oh, yeah, that's an anniversary.
Yeah, no, definitely. And in the year of his passing as well that we're discussing Friedkin. But yeah, I like that very much. One of the other scary moments that I had was the Vavitch that mm-hmm. we've mentioned, I think, last week. Mm-hmm. Last time, sorry. Yeah, the Vavitch is... I watched it in like a country house, very much outside of the city, and separating the city from that house was a perfect swamp. And that's how I had to cycle home after watching the Vavitch in the dark.
Context, no is lights. Everything.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry, script. and what about you?
Thanks. I really love horror. I don't think it's the genre I watch the most, but it's definitely up there. I mostly really love 80s super campy horror stuff. I like the special effects. I love how everything looks in that era. I think the 80s and the 90s just gave us beautiful storylines. I think the recent attempts to create films that are like actually really scary, they often have like a lot of jump scares and stuff, or they really depend a lot on things looking very scary and like having monsters with white eyes and that kind of stuff. And yeah, that could be spooky, but I think like the charm of the 80s and the 90s, that hasn't really been paralleled.
I'm not really a purist like that.
No, I'm not either. I'm not saying
I see a horror recent years has been the genre at the frontier of what you can do with a genre piece in cinema, and how you can express themes, very like taboo-ish themes and everything, in a very particular and fashionable way. No, for me, horror has been great last 10 years, like better than it's pretty much ever been.
Okay, I disagree with that, but I didn't mean that no good horror is being made. I agree with you. There's a lot of really great stuff coming out. But for me, like the special place in my heart, that's where the 80s and the 90s.
I mean, I love the plastic reality stuff of the 80s. Like Cronenberg and Videodrome. How do you do that with the hand in the belly? I'm lingering.
It's diverting. Beautiful. Yeah. I started young. I have a lot of older siblings, and my brothers would watch really scary movies when I was small and when my parents were away, and they wouldn't really protect me from that. So and I had a best friend in elementary school who also loved scary movies. I think the first time I really remembering watching a scary movie, I was probably about 10, and it was like I Know What You Did Last Summer, Scream. It was kind of like that stuff at the end of the 90s. I was pretty scared, but I didn't let it on. I was like, oh no, I'm a bit bored, I'll just go to the bathroom, you know. But secretly I was pretty scared. For me, it really varies, by the way. Sometimes I'll watch something and I'm like, whatever. And sometimes it's not even that scary and I can't sleep for a week. I think a lot of it has to do with context.
Oh,
like
you really
emotional.
Okay. I've never had trouble sleeping.
No, I wasn't being literal. I walk around the house and I think about like, but I think that's more like a general emotional state of feeling unsafe or something. I don't know. Anyway, that hasn't really stopped me from watching spooky movies. And I've been watching a lot recently, so
yeah.
It
well,
works out
I
well
mean
for
it's
today.
It is horror movie month with October. So what we did for this episode is that we both challenged each other to watch a horror movie that we hadn't seen before. I dived into John Carpenter's In the Mouth of Madness, and I made you watch Friedkin's Bug from 2006, a movie that nobody has ever heard of.
I watched it last night, so for me it's really fresh.
Cool. The script says... Yeah, I'm just reading the script. I'm very bad with script reading. But why do people like horror? What can there? No, I've discussed this before on the podcast. Let's dive right into it. Carolien, what is your favorite horror movie?
No, I want to rectify something for the listeners. Data wants me to write a script. One, and then he's like, we already did this, so never mind.
Yeah. I'm very, very...
Lack of structure is not on me.
No, definitely. This is all on me. This is how I like it.
Okay.
Create order and then make chaos.
Great.
What's your favorite horror movie?
Evil Dead 2.
Cool. How so?
I love Evil Dead 2. How so? For a lot of reasons, I think it has all the elements that I want from a horror movie. I think it looks really good, for one. It has those crazy special effects that I love and all the goriness. I think it's genuinely scary, which is impressive considering how funny it is, because I think it's also laugh out loud funny.
Very hard combination to do.
Yeah, it is. And Bruce Campbell is the main actor in the film. If Chins Could Kill is his autobiography. Would recommend to anyone who's interested in making film also, because he started in high school just making films with his friends, including Sam Raimi, who's the director of the Evil Dead series.
I love the kinest. I also really love Evil Dead 2. Mm. I think it's amazing. He described it himself as, what's it, Laurel and Hardy, but without, instead of custard pies, it would be guts and gore.
Yeah, and I think Bruce Campbell is really special in this respect because it's
and
such...
And the hand. The way I love the hand. Yeah. The hand is just... It's
his
hand
is possessed, and somehow he can just really make it look like it's a separate entity to himself. Yeah. And he's doing it all just on
and
pure...
He's fighting his own hand.
It's acting power. It's beautiful. Yeah. It really is. And I love him more than anything. Oh, cool. What's your favorite horror film?
Yeah, I saw this in the script today, and I was again like, I don't know. I don't know if I have one, because I really love Juliette Ducournau's work. I think it's pretty much perfect. At the same time, I don't know if that classifies as being... I think it's very much horror, but I don't know if it's the best horror film. I don't like it just because it's... So I'm conflicted in that sense. But some of my favorites, I can mention a few, are Ducournau's work, Let the Right One In, from Alfredson, from... Sweden, a Swedish vampire film. It has only one little dud of a moment, but I think it's beautiful, pretty much perfect. The Addiction, Abel Ferrara. I think it's you're busy with a horror project this month, right?
Yes, that's correct. I collected about 20, 30 film titles, and I'm just working my way through. I'm going a bit slower than I wanted, so it will also leak into November. But The Addiction. The Addiction is on there, but I haven't seen it yet. So
cool. Well, watch out for that one. And I mean, I can mention a few, but let's keep it tight. I mean, I have so much to say.
Well, always. That's really good, because let's get into the frag situ.
Mm-hmm.
I have a little challenge for you.
Ew.
And I hope you're in the mood for something.
In the mood for something.
Snappy and
okay.
Intense.
Is it like a... Flash round?
Well, yeah. What I'd like to do is challenge you to name as many horror movies as you can, titles, in 30 seconds. And I'll also give you 30 seconds to think about
without
it before
the screen.
We start. Without the screen. You can't look at your computer. Yeah? Want to do it? Okay, I'll press the button. You get 30 seconds of music, and then you have to start talking, and I'll make little notes for everyone you name. All right.
Buck, Jaws, Scream, Scream 2, Scream 3, Scream 4, Scream 5, Scream 6, The Exorcist to the Heretic, Legion, The Exorcist 3, Exorcist Believer, what else do we have? Oh, and Friday the 13th and Halloween 1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay, that went fast even for me. I think I landed on 21.
That's good.
Not bad. Thomas won a second.
Yeah.
But we'll have to recount after.
Yeah.
When I listen to the recording.
I like this.
Excellent work.
Yeah.
I think it's a bit of a cop-out to go for the 1, 2, 3, 4, but I would have done the same.
Okay, so you've got Bug Fresh on your mind. I don't. I had to claim some of my memories by watching stills. I didn't want to watch his full scene because Buck to me is at least the scariest movie that I've seen, I think. Let's discuss it. Do you want to introduce it or shall I introduce it?
You introduce it.
Okay, so Buck is a movie from 2006. It was based on the theater play by Tracy Letts. He is also the screenwriter for this. He brought in William Friedkin. They made two movies together, all based on Tracy Letts' plays. This movie is incredibly bare bones. It's stripped back, and it has pretty much one set. It's her motel room that she lives in. Our protagonist plays by Ashley Judd. Am I saying that right? Yeah. She works in a lesbian bar, goes home with a colleague. She brings home this guy. I don't know what he does there. And this guy starts moving in with her slightly. Like, it's slowly. But the thing is, he is paranoid and he's convinced that the government... He's a former military soldier. And he's convinced that the government has injected him with little teeny tiny bugs under his skin. That's pretty much the setup. Oh, yeah. And she has an ex-husband that keeps calling the phone. Everything already from the get-go is paranoid. The way the camera flies over the hotel...
And it's based on a play, right?
Yeah. And so it's really a three-actor in one of the most classical senses.
It feels
you
like
you get
a play,
the motel room in three It feels like a play, except it doesn't. For me, it's really a cinematic landmark. But okay, I never really want to say too much of the advancement of the plot in a way. If we want to do that, you can also maybe skip ahead. I don't know how much spoilers we are going to give.
I mean, it's also fun if people can still watch it without knowing everything that happens. So I don't think we have to go into the ending or anything. But
okay, let me conclude at least my thoughts here. Roger Ebert thought this movie was the type of movie where he actually started worrying for the actors. Not even for their personas. Mm-hmm. He was worried for the actors. That's how intense this movie is. Michael Shannon is, by the way, the guy who enters this. It's really one of his breaks, in a way. And he is absolutely scary. He is one of the best presences, nonetheless, in cinema. He can just walk onto a set. Werner Herzog once said that the only person he was ever scared of was Michael Shannon.
I agree. And I think he's just fantastic.
And it divided audiences, pretty much split. It has then been shoved under the rug and it really needs reappraisal, at least for my part. So I'm curious. How was Bug?
I was really intrigued that this was the thing you wanted me to watch because the episode we did before, last one, the one in Vera about fever dreams, I felt like we both kind of suggested a movie to the other that was, again, in the realm of fever dreams. I completely agree about Michael Shannon. I think he is fantastic, and he just always brings this really specific, scary energy to any role. Like, I am also afraid of him a little bit. Even though, in a way, he has kind of a kind face, it's also always, like, the face of of crazy.
There's a piping hot furnace burning behind his eyelids.
It's beautiful. And I also thought Ashley Judd was really convincing and good. I don't. let's go into the plot. I thought it was a very interesting movie. I didn't really think it was a horror film, to be honest. I wasn't scared at all. Ooh. I thought it was kind of a psychological thriller, I guess.
Okay.
And to me, it was mostly kind of a sad story about paranoid schizophrenia. That's the feeling that I was left with.
Okay.
Very different from, example, Beau is Afraid, because I feel like there you are way more part of the experience of going mad. And here I felt more of an outsider, I guess.
Yeah.
And for me, I think that has to do maybe with the theater-esque kind of style of the film.
Okay.
But I didn't think it was bad at all. I just didn't really think it was a horror film.
Let me explain to you why
really
this
shocking.
Is, to me at least, the scariest movie of all
Yes,
time.
Please.
I think this is one of the greatest love stories put to film. And I'm not kidding. It's absolutely convincing in the way it portrays a blossoming relationship that is based on terrifying thoughts. I watched this, I think, during COVID. And I had some family members that were also going skid. I have a very big family, so it was going to happen to somebody within the family in a way. It got like a new extra layer. I was the paranoia and the conspiracy theories that drive the plot are somewhat of a, what's the Hitchcock term again? A MacGuffin. A little bit. The core of the movie is this love story that's so convincing that you do indeed start worrying for these characters, even though they are just mentally completely gone. And they do and think things that you're completely not in line with. So when the movie progresses and they start becoming further, like their paranoia grows because of each other.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, that's what love does. It's that you, the two of you become this, well, here pretty much literally, but you can become like a monolith in a way. And well, they become stronger than they were without each other. Ashley Judd, in a way, gets like a better position than before. She doesn't have to be scared of her ex-husband in a way anymore. It's so weird, but these thoughts came into me. Like, this is just a phenomenal love story, and that's why it's so scary, especially near the end. Oh, the end. The last set is just so.
I thought it was beautiful, and I agree with you. I thought it was mostly a story about loneliness and how far people go to remedy it and how deep this really goes. And I I thought that was the best part of the film as well. To me, that isn't necessarily scary, or although it definitely has very scary consequences sometimes, but what I felt was like it was a drama.
Yeah.
But
it is definitely a drama, but I think the red line in my horror taste is also that my horrors tend to be just a little off from actual horror in a way. Mm-hmm. I think some purists will argue that I don't watch horror even. Not agree on that, but no, I think this is just it, and it's a terrific film, and it really shows this master of direction in so many capacities. I mean, he's an opera director as well, with Friedkin.
I also thought it was really weird the way it was edited. It was like really flashy and just going from like one thing to the next. And you're like, why is this here? And I think that really adds to the atmosphere.
Yeah.
I didn't mean that as a good thing.
No, I meant
that as a good thing.
Yeah, no, sure.
Like it makes and well, it I made mean, me feel unsure.
He passed away this year. Mm-hmm. I really think that he's one of the cinematic masters of his generation. I mean, he made so many terrific movies. But this one is flown under the radar. Go and watch it and go and get into this divided debate, because for some reason I still don't get why the IMDb score is a 6.6 and why at Cannes, well, it's Cannes, but why it wasn't really considered to be a good film. I think it was pretty much only one critic waving the flag, and that's Mark Kermode. That's how I...
Who is that?
A British film critic has a great podcast as well. Mm. Well, he's
as
our,
well.
He's, yeah, no, but I mean, he worked for The Guardian, and he was pretty much the only one. But I mean, he considers The Exorcist to be the greatest movie ever made.
Okay.
And he is somewhat friends with William Friedkin. So, I mean, hey, take it for what it is. But I mean, he's right on this account, like pretty much always, I think.
Fair enough.
Buck is just absolutely amazing.
Yeah, and I think maybe... Well, for one, I think you're totally right that IMDb scores are fucking bullshit. I mean, it just...
I don't know if they're
sorry
bullshit.
Sorry for the profanity. But a lot of times, I don't get it at all. I feel like I've seen something really special, one of a kind, and also really good. And then it's like a 6, and then the Avengers get like a 9. I'm like, yeah, it was fun, but, you know, where is this coming from? I'm not saying it's a bad film either, all the blockbuster stuff. I just, or that they are bad films in general or whatever. I just don't understand the gap that's there sometimes.
Yeah, no, sure.
But I wonder if maybe also Bug kind of, maybe that's just in my head, but when you suggested the title, I think I would have expected something more gory because, you know, Bug, you think probably it's like crawling with like corpses,
you
with
think
maggots
body horror,
or whatever. Yeah. That's kind of where my head went. I before I was watching it, I was thinking I probably shouldn't have dinner while I watch it. Well, I could have done that, I think, in retrospect, but...
I wouldn't.
You wouldn't? Okay, fair enough.
That's maybe a... oh, shit.
There! Hip! Yeah. Top tip!
Match your dinner to your horror movie. That's a good one.
It's important.
Yeah. I've also got one related to it. It's tea and horror.
Hmm.
I mean, tea and horror is a tricky business. At one point, it's soothing, comforting. I'm a big tea drinker.
Mm-hmm.
It's so soothing. You can maybe chill your nerves a bit with tea. But don't do it during a jump scary movie or when you feel that the jump scare might be coming.
Yeah, you should
put
it
away
down.
Your tea.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of my...
Fair, hip, top tips.
Yeah.
Now that we're discussing this, I'm thinking, when we were talking about the fever dream films, I was thinking I should watch Uncut Gems and drink a lot of
Uncut
coffee.
Jams. Uncut Gems. No,
Jams.
Don't. No, you don't Uncut need coffee Jams. For Uncut Gems.
No, I know. I already started
like
watching it,
like, you already
remember?
Get, like, a caffeine shot. It's, like,
no,
injected into your blood using a needle that has AIDS on it. That's what Uncut Gems is.
I had to stop watching because I got too anxious, but I just thought it would be a funny challenge for myself to just layer it, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
It's like extreme film watching.
Extreme film watching. There we go, folks.
People think this is a boring hobby, but
it
doesn't have to be.
No. And I mean, Bug is not boring in the slightest.
Agreed.
It is psychological, and that's why it's so good. But yeah.
Okay. Yep. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Okay. Are you ready for... I've got some questions. I've got some food for thought.
Ooh.
Yes. I mean, I've said before, I think the most scared that I am is during a bad horror movie. I'll give you an example. I think the worst one that I've seen in my life is The Exorcist 2, The Heretic. Have you seen it?
I have not.
Oh, it's something else.
I have to admit, I haven't seen The Exorcist. Stop, and I'll explain why right now, because this has to do with like real fear.
Is it on your list for this month?
It is.
Good, go.
I used to have a really bad phobia of vomiting, and I didn't want to watch The Exorcist because it has like this classic scene with a lot of vomit. And I just thought, like, I don't know when in the movie that happens, and I just don't want to see it. So I was being really avoidant about it. I'm doing much better now. So yeah. I'll go watch The Exorcist.
Oh, it's amazing. Well, Exorcist 2 is a movie that says everything done by The Exorcist is wrong. The writer of The Exorcist has been wrong. And the director has been wrong. Whereas The Exorcist is not about the girl. It's about everybody else.
Hmm.
The Exorcist 2 says, nope, it's about the girl.
Okay.
Starts off with this leering shot of Linda Blair, who's now just a few years older. She's 17, I think. But it just sexualizes her to hell. And it's a movie with an amazing Ennio Morricone score that just doesn't make any sense. It has like weird... Yeah, la, 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 la. It's the weirdest thing ever. But that's the only redeeming part, I think.
That sounds and really absurd.
It has Richard Burton flying on locusts.
Flying on locusts?
Yeah, to Africa. All of a sudden he does that.
I really want to watch this.
Oh, yeah.
Completely.
But it's so frustrating.
Deranged.
It's a really bad movie. So what is the worst horror movie that you've seen?
The worst. Oh, that's a hard one.
I've got another one as well, the Wicker Man remake.
Yeah, well, that's a classic for being bad, right? I should have thought of something.
Yeah, no, I just came up with this. So
no, it's a good question.
I also have. I'm just gonna fill the time.
I was just thinking about all the things that I saw that were good.
Well, I also got Diabolique.
Diabolique.
Yeah, from 1955, Clouseau.
Romy Schneider.
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
No?
No, but...
She's in the picture.
No, that is Simone Signoret.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, but at least everybody says this is one of the great horror movies from the 50s from France, and I just didn't think it was good at all. No, Diabolique. But have fun.
Oh, right, I remember one. I think, what was it called? Cabin Fever. I thought that was really dumb, if that's the title. Let me think.
That's the Eli Roth one.
Yeah,
I think somewhat so. Remake of The Evil Dead.
Yeah, but it wasn't like it at all.
Oh, okay.
Was it that? I think it was that one. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I just thought it was...
But no clear memory, not that you were like...
No, I'm
it's not flying on locusts to Africa.
Well, I remember the one that I think is bad. I was just wondering if I had the correct title, like, connected to the memory. But, it was that one, and I think it just felt like a really flat American silly story and everything I don't like about horror, basically. But I think I struggled to come up with a title because I also really love it when it's really bad. That's kind of where, if you love camp, you know, but it has to be an interestingly bad.
Yeah.
And obviously there's loads of things that are uninteresting.
The Exorcist 2 is very interesting in why it's bad. Okay. Even though you're laughing sometimes at the movie, not with the movie, at the end you just have a sour taste in your mouth. It's if you've seen The Exorcist and you like it, then it's just a revolting piece of work. It was, I think...
I'll add it to the list.
The writer, William Peter Blatty, said that The Exorcist 2, The Heretic, was the work of a demented mind. I think that when you see it, you're like, yeah, definitely.
But what kind of demented? Like
not a very good one.
Tommy Wiseau demented, or
no? John Borman was made like a few big hits in the 70s, and it was at the time that they started putting a lot of money into directors to just complete their own vision entirely. So he was an auteur, and considered as such. But John Borman was also somebody who, when he got the money, then started making something like Zardoz, which features Sean Connery in a briefs walking around, and where the message of the film pretty much is the penis is bad, and that's like a quote.
Okay.
Yeah, so and that person then had to make The Exorcist successor. Mm-hmm. Not, he didn't communicate with the writer of the book. He didn't like the first movie. He hadn't seen it, but when he saw it, he didn't like it.
I see.
And he tried to correct the message of the first movie, which is pretty much perfect. That's the kind of dimension that we're talking about.
Okay.
It's just, and he got full like, there you go. Go and do your vision. Yeah. Terrible.
Ta-da.
Okay, so you made me watch a book.
Yes, I did. I made you watch In the Mouth of Madness. So I heard about this movie a while ago when I was thinking about The Thing. John Carpenter made a bunch of movies in the 80s and the 90s.
Now I have a brief confession to make. I've never seen The Thing.
Oh, continue. Interesting. anyway, they call it the Apocalypse Trilogy because it's three horror movies that all are about the possibility of an apocalypse. And
I think it's more like an apocalypse trilogy. Like a trilogy, come on.
It's not really a trilogy because
it's just three movies with a little bit of apocalypse.
Sure. they're also not really related. I mean, they're all really separate stories, and there isn't really any other connection than the apocalypse theme. The most famous out of the three is by far The Thing. A lot of people have seen it. It's Kurt Russell on the South Pole.
I mean, I know pretty much about this movie. I know how it ends. The Thing is kind of one of those movies that I have the impression that I almost have seen it. Except I haven't. Yeah. I had this with Alien as well.
Yeah,
I was expecting Alien to be incredibly scary. I knew the chest burster scene. I knew pretty. Then I saw it, and it was still like way scarier than I thought it would be. So maybe I hope The Thing will go into that direction when I finally will come to it. But
I really hope you will enjoy. I love it. I'm not sure if I think it's scary, but I think it's really good.
Oh, that scene at the end with the hot thing. Oh no, it's very tense, at least. It's good.
And like Alien, I think part of the fame comes from these really cool special effects, like the deep, disturbing body horror stuff. And that's really good in this one. There's like some really gross, slimy things that I love. Anyway, I really expected out of the three, I would love The Thing the most because it's the most famous. But then I watched the other ones. I just watched all three in one weekend. And the other ones are called Prince of Darkness. Very 80s, heavy on the religious themes. I thought it was really good. It's campy. It's funny because it's so campy. Also kind of scary here and there. I thought it was great. But then I watched In the Mouth of Madness, and I was blown away. It's Sam Neill. He plays a private investigator who's supposed to look into the whereabouts of a famous horror writer whose books seem to be having a strange effect on people. And maybe even on reality itself. What I think was really special about it was almost everything. I love Sam Neill. I think he's a fantastic actor. I think the story was really good. Everything looks great. Really good. And again, I feel like it was in the fever dream sphere that we talked about before. You're just not really sure where you're at, and it's scary. And it felt a bit Lynchian in that way as well.
Lynch.
Yeah, I thought so. You really disagree, I can tell.
Maybe I should step in. I don't think this is a good movie. This is a movie with an interesting premise, and it falls flat on its face. And that's... I can skip... I'm gonna, yeah, I don't know.
I am gutted.
I'm gonna quote them. The movie, at some point, one of the characters says we could skip to the ending, and I said, sure enough. I'll make it, but I think the ending is just terrible. I think the ending is what eventually was just, I was sitting there with just my hands in the air, like, and that's it? Well, no, sorry, you haven't thought this through. Problem is with screenwriting. Direction is pretty okay.
I'm just sitting here speechless.
Yeah, I think this
for the record.
I think this is enjoyable Tosh. I think it's very enjoyable. It's quite good in its direction, although there are some edits that I'm not too sure about.
I'm struggling not to storm out of the room right now.
Sam Neill is very good. He plays this massively annoying character. He's so annoying. And at the same time, do have patience with him, and that's a hard line to balance. But he is, he's just a dick, and a very funny one at that.
True.
But yeah, I mean, it has these, I think the best elements of the movie are the funny elements. In the beginning, he says, oh no, not the carpenters again. And near the end, when you have this, I'm not going to spoil anything, but the last 20 minutes, you're somewhat back, and it feels like a silence before the storm. And then he is gone insane. This is inspired by the works of H.P. Lovecraft, and so insanity is a big theme. And then at some point, he wants to see somebody. I want to see your supervisor. And he just laugh out loud, but I wasn't laughing with the movie, I think in that moment, I was laughing with Sam Neill, who at some points did give me the impression, like, I know what movie I'm in. And I know.
Wow, are you but wrong? You were so wrong.
No, I think the ending is just terrible. And I wrote down, it feels a lot of the times like Total Recall wants to be scary.
Wow. Yeah. Wow, I love Total Recall. So I do there as we, well. We're at the camp again. But what I loved about all three of the apocalypse trilogy, blah blah, whatever you want to call it, films, is that I think they make a really successful quest out of this question, like, what happens when people who really cling to the notion of objective reality and things just being clean and simple and materialistic, and, you know, like, nature doesn't do anything creepy, you know, it's just the to speak with the words of your favorite director,
yeah.
You do it.
I believe that the common denominator of the universe is chaos, hostility, and murder.
Okay, so that was Werner Herzog saying that, you know, there's indifference in the universe. I guess maybe that's...
Yeah, and this movie wants to have a deterministic outlook. No, not deterministic. I'm mixing up terms. Fatalistic.
Yeah.
Fate and has been set.
What I like about all three is that people who really want to believe that nothing scary can happen are confronted with scary things happening. And, you know, their beliefs about the world just being shaken to their core. I think it really works. I wasn't kidding about, like, that I think it's genuinely scary. I also thought
really?
It was... Yeah. I also think it was funny, but
I'm going to take you through for a few moments.
Okay.
At one point, he comes to this church. It has been written in the book. And then there are dogs in slow-mo. Mm-hmm. I wrote down biting dogs. Ah. Well, because the dogs, they're just silly, silly.
I didn't think
silly.
The dogs were scary either. No, I thought the whole words of children were really scary.
Oh, no. They try to be. They try to be. But that's...
I disagree.
I read an interview with John Carpenter regarding the making of this movie, and he said, well, H.P. Lovecraft's creatures, if you want to make them, they have to be scary with and on the side of campiness, a bit camp. I think this movie, unfortunately, was way too campy to be actually scary. It was... it had a premise. It took it up to a point, and then it got lost in it, which made everything feel like there was a lack of consequence in a way. There was a moment where he crashes into a pole because there were very slow walking torch bearers. Very slow. They were just like...
They were all fucking possessed and they wanted to murder him.
And they're walking 3 kilometers per day. That's the pace that they have. And then he crashes into a pole and you just see him lying there on his steering wheel. And I wrote, goeien airbags. Very well airbags. The thing is, what I'm trying to say with this is, I know my notes. When I make notes like, ooh, biting dogs or... That's good airbags. Then I'm not into it.
No, but you
and
are
I
looking
didn't get
for
along with it.
You are looking for the scary in all the right in all the wrong places. What makes this film scary isn't like the threat of dogs or the threat of a crowd with like pitchforks or whatever. Mm-hmm. What's scary is that the pitchfork scene is basically Groundhog Day. He is in this loop that he can't get out of. He can't escape. He doesn't know how to make it better. That is scary. It's scary that he's in some kind of world that he can't explain and he can't get out of, and it doesn't even seem to be following basic rules of nature. That's what's scary. But the really scary thing...
The world he was in had people doing very, very weird looking spider walks that you were like, yeah, oh okay. and that
was so that, creepy though.
That woman in the basement. That's just it was a bad effect. I've seen a lot of this plastic reality and I love it.
Yeah, but
again, go and watch a Cronenberg movie to see it done well.
That's you're going problem. Back to all the really concrete, like scary things that are supposed to be like, you know, direct threats. But what is scary, and I was getting to that, is actually him feeling like he's losing touch with reality. Yeah. He doesn't know anymore whether he's sane or not. That is really scary.
No, I think he knows he's sane. Okay, so
I challenge our listeners to watch this movie decide whether Samuel Mosey's sane or not.
And let me say again, it was quite enjoyable. I wasn't bored.
Okay, that was I'm glad good. About that at least.
But I did write down, and that goes into your argument, that sometimes it did feel like I was stuck in a mediocre horror game. I wasn't stuck losing track of reality. I was stuck in a mediocre horror game with a bad ending. And the bad ending, I mean, endings can ruin films. And this was clearly an example of it. It was like, okay, and now pay me off. Like go and do it.
Ending.
Go and do it. And then he just, wasn't good enough. Was definitely not good enough. So, yeah, no, I kind of liked it. I think it's good.
I think last episode you and I already discovered that we are not on the same page. And this is really confirming this thought for me.
Yeah,
interesting. No, I really wonder if people are going to watch it and what they're going to think.
In the mouth of madness. real scares. Okay.
You're so rude. So rude. The Exorcist sucks. I hated Bug. No, I didn't.
Go ahead. I'm in the good camp.
No, you're not.
Okay. Anyway. Intermezzo jingle.
Yes.
I think.
Good.
Yes. Yes. And more jingles. More jingles. Well, another. No. No more jingles.
I think that was.
Okay. That was a good discussion. I like that we have varying opinions. It's good to have.
Me too.
I want to see your supervisor. You go and tell What's in Cinemas. I'll look up that clip.
Okay. So I don't really know What's in Cinemas. And I was just reading about film a little bit last week. And at Vera, we had a selection of short films, one of which was by Lorcos Yantimos. Yantimos.
Lantimos.
Greek weird wave baby. That reminded me of his films, and I was reading about him a little bit, and he has two things coming up that I personally am very excited about. The first one has a trailer out and everything. Yeah, two actually. The first one is called Poor Things. It stars Emma Stone and Willem Dafoe. Sounds promising, I think.
That's definitely promising. I've heard raving reviews about it already. It's going to be a great film.
I think the story is that Emma Stone's character is kind of like the monster of Frankenstein. Willem Dafoe is the doctor, and he kind of brings her to life, and she has to figure out what it means to be like a human, but it's kind of like a period piece at the same time. I don't know what era it's supposed to be.
It's steampunk.
Yeah, steampunky.
And it's based on a novel, so it's an adaptation.
I think it looks really good, and the acting is going to be fantastic, I think. And I'm really excited about it.
Yeah.
There's another one that's called And, A-N-D, all capitals.
Yeah.
Again, starring Emma Stone and Willem Dafoe, apparently. This is what IMDb says, but it's still completely unclear what it's about. It's all being kept under wraps. It also stars Jesse Plemons, which I think is another one of those really scary actors. He's
scary actor.
Well, he's mostly known as like the really creepy guy from Breaking Bad, one of the painter guys.
Ah,
you know?
See, I haven't seen Breaking Bad, so I know Jesse Plemons completely outside of this context.
Well, he's also really scary in Black Mirror.
I don't you know him from Black Mirror either.
Well, okay, so that's the roles that
I know
I'm,
him as
I'm
this lovable
with.
Chubby idiot. That's sure. What he is. Although he's not chubby anymore.
Oh,
not chubby anymore.
Interesting. That's why I feel like he could be a really good part. I think he's a really good actor too.
I love
very convincing.
He's also in Killers of the Flower Moon, which I'm gonna see next week. I'm gonna go to
exciting.
Porth the Past Lives tomorrow, so we'll have that. And I'm gonna see the Anatomy of a Fall, I think, next week. I hope I hope I have time. But yeah, but it's a lot of films to keep up with. All the good films are finally coming out now. It has been quiet for a little
What's
while.
What's Anatomy of a Fall exactly?
The winner of the Grand Prix at Cannes. Mm. So it's about a woman who and her husband is fallen to death.
I see.
Whether she's guilty.
Uh-huh.
It's I cannot make it sound sexier than it is, but it is. It looks good.
Any familiar people in there or directors we might know?
I haven't done my homework too well. What I do have is the clip that I was talking about from In the Mouth of Madness. Do you want to hear it? Yes.
Deaf and dumb, sir?
I was just there in the town. In that town. And there were people there. And shops and homes. And
I don't doubt that. What I'm telling you for the 10th time is that it couldn't have been called Hobbs End. There never was, is, or shall be any such place by that name in this state. Ever.
I want to see your supervisor!
Oh, you want to see your supervisor? Oh, it's amazing.
Are you finished?
I think we're pretty much finished for this episode.
I think it's unfair to take one little clip and then, you
no,
know.
No, this is the tone of the movie. This is supposed to be like the scary climactic build-up. I want to see your supervisor.
He's starting to go mad.
And the music. I mean, it's John Carpenter's music. This I haven't even talked about the theme song. It's John Carpenter trying to do
John
Metallica.
Carpenter's music is
No. He said it himself. He wanted Enter Sandman, but he just couldn't get the rights. So he made his own Enter Sandman.
Yeah, so
and
it works
sounds,
great.
It sounds like a simulacrum, like a copy of something that isn't existing, really.
Yeah, making it even creepier. I love
no,
it.
No, it's not creepy. It's just a bit stupid.
You are wrong. I think we should wrap it up because I want to... You know,
see you next week.
Say things I can't say on air.
See you next time, folks.
See you next time.
I need to blow my nose again. Autumn, rain. I think it's echt heel relaxed.